Hello, everyone, and good evening, and welcome to an episode of Everyday Black History. I'd like to welcome you all as we are halfway through the month of January. On this Monday, this January 18th, Martin Luther King Day. Of course, whenever you know we do an episode that happens to land on Martin Luther King's Day, we always got to give respect and a shout out to Martin Luther King and what he's done. I mean, we all know about what Dr. King has done, and you know how our lives in this country wouldn't be the same if it wasn't for men like Dr. Martin Luther King. And you know, his work and who he is to Black history and Black culture is so solidified. It's like when you think of the Mount Rushmore of Black history, Martin Luther King's, or Dr. Martin Luther King's face is definitely up there. So there's nothing I can say that is not already known about Dr. King, but just we always got to show respect and give a proper shout out to Dr. Martin Luther King and for what he's done for Black Americans, for civil rights, for our rights in this country, and what he means to Black history and Black culture. So we just want to start by giving a special shout out to Dr. Martin Luther King on this January 18th, 2021, the Martin Luther King holiday. His birthday was a few days ago, January 15th, but on this day, we salute Dr. Martin Luther King and his legacy and what it means to Black history and Black culture. So today on this Monday, hopefully you had a good weekend. It's a 3-day weekend for many people. So hopefully you had a good weekend and, you know, you enjoyed it doing whatever it is that you did. But today on Everyday Black History, we are going to be talking about a man by the name of Anthony Crawford. And I'm doing a few episodes dedicated to Anthony Crawford. Today's episode, we're just going to talk a little bit about him and about his life a little bit and the injustice that was done to him and to his family. But I also wanted to promote a documentary that was done on him. It's called Crawford, A Man the South Forgot. And in that documentary, it talks, the filmmakers talk to some of his descendants that are still around today, his family, and they go around and they try to find out more information on him. And the documentary follows a woman who goes down to South Carolina, where he was from, to meet some of her distant relatives and to find out more information on Anthony Crawford, and also to right the wrongs that was done to him and to his family, which we'll get into in a little bit. But the documentary was over a course of decades, actually, and follows this woman in her journey and her work in trying to find justice for her relatives, as well as information on Anthony Crawford, and so that it can be known to people, generations that, you know, in the town, and even people who may visit the town in Abbeville, South Carolina. So I had the privilege of doing two interviews, one with the director and one with the editor and producer of this documentary short film. You can find the documentary on Quelle TV, which is a streaming service that caters to, has an entertainment that caters to Black Americans or Black people. So we want to definitely promote that documentary, and you know, try and if you can look for Quelle TV, you can download it and stream content that's based on the African and the African diaspora. I'll just say it that like that. But anyway, we're gonna get into the episode, and we're gonna talk about Anthony Crawford. Anthony Crawford was born in 1865, and he was an entrepreneur, successful farmer. And unfortunately, his name is synonymous with an injustice. You know, when you look up Anthony Crawford, the first thing that comes up, it talks about the lynching of Anthony Crawford. And Anthony Crawford, you know, what was done to him was just no one. That shouldn't happen to anyone. You know, he was lynched by a lynch mob in Abbeville, South Carolina. And they were jealous of his success. You know, they were jealous of his success. And what happened to him kind of ties into a lot of lynchings that happened to successful black men in the South during these year, during this time. But we're gonna get into that in a little bit. We're gonna talk a little bit about Anthony Crawford. He was born during the Reconstruction era after the Civil War in 1865. And his father, Anthony Crawford's father, became the owner of a modest acreage of cotton fields. And his father had land that was about 7 miles west of Abbeville in South Carolina. And Anthony Crawford learned the trade of farming from his dad, you know, farming cotton with his dad on his own land. And he was ambitious and he was literate. So he routinely walked miles to school in Abbeville for his education. Now, he inherited the land on his father's death, and he increased his ownership of land by a substantial amount. He brought land in 1883, 1888, 1889, and 1903. And with every purchase of land, he didn't just buy 1 or 2 acres. He brought, like, you know, large amounts of acres of land. By the mid or late 1890s, he, you know, had amassed hundreds of acres of land in the Abbeville, South Carolina era. Hundreds of acres. I'm talking about 427 acres of land is what he amassed. And we know that land ownership is one of the most important things for anyone, but especially for a black man during the post Civil War era. But he was also the co-founder of the Industrial Union of Abbeville County, which was devoted to the material, moral, and intellectual advance of the colored people. He was also the father of 12 sons and 4 daughters, so he had a big family. By 1916, as we mentioned, his land holdings had expanded to 427 acres of land. Some sources say as much as 600 acres, but whatever the case was, he had hundreds and hundreds of acres that he owned, and he farmed cotton on it. The land was very fertile. Even to this day, it's still known to be fertile land, so he can farm cotton. He farmed other things as well, you know, fruit and everything. So he was very successful in his endeavors as a farmer. Many of Crawford's children had settled on plots adjoining that of their father during this time, and he had a net worth of approximately $25,000, which during that time was a lot of money, especially for a black man. He was without a doubt one of the richest men in Abbeville County. So as you can imagine, that no doubt ruffled the feathers of many of his white neighbors. Anthony Crawford was also known to refuse or tolerate disrespect or defiance in any form. So he was a brother who was successful, he was proud, and he wasn't going to let any white man talk down to him. It was said that he said he would die before he let a man beat on him. You know, so he had that pride instilled in him. It's said that when his church's preacher delivered a sermon decrying Crawford's meddling in church affairs, Crawford jumped out of his seat, struck the man, and fired him on the spot. And so he didn't take any disrespect from anybody. And, you know, he was very proud. He was a very proud man. And, you know, to white people, they looked at him as an uppity Negro. Even newspapers described Crawford as rich for a Negro, and he was insolent along with it. That's how they described him, because of the fact that they, you know, disliked him so much. Because of his success. On the day of October 21st, 1916, Anthony Crawford was taking 2 loads of cotton and a load of seed into Abbeville, and he had a disagreement over the price of cotton seed. He had noticed that the white man before him had gotten more money for the same amount of cotton that he was bringing in. And so the man who owned the store, this white store owner, he called him a cheat. And then he left the store. After he left the store, the white store owner came out and, you know, went to some of the other store owners and complained about him. And one of his employees followed Anthony Crawford some ways, and, you know, he hit him on the head with a handle. And then Anthony Crawford, asked for help from the sheriff. While all this is happening, because while this was happening, people started to see what was going on, and then a small mob started to form, because you got to remember, this is a black man, so he's in a white part of town. So quickly, these mobs will form. The sheriff arrested Crawford. They claimed that he did it for his own protection, and he took him to the jail cell as a mob of angry white folks started to accumulate. He was held in a jail. Anthony Crawford was held in a jail briefly, and he was later released on a $15 bail, and he was allowed to exit through the side door. But the mob, you know, went from the town to the jail, and to take him out of the jail and, you know, do what lynch mobs do. They pursued him into a cotton mill. He ran away and took shelter in one of the boiler rooms. When one of the men tried to come in there after him, into the boiler room after him, he grabbed the hammer and knocked the man out for his own protection. And that unfortunately made it worse, because soon the mill workers and the mob broke into the boiler room where he was hiding in the cotton mill, and they retrieved him. And what they did to his body, what they did to him in general, was just so, like, I don't even want to talk about it because it's depressing, you know? I mean, it's really depressing what they did to his body. And like I said, it's something that no person should ever go through, you know? Like, the fact that you would do this to a person, you got, you know, 30, 40, 50, 100 people that mob up together, and to do this to one defenseless man who was just defending his honor because this white man was trying to cheat him. You know, for like I said, I don't want to get into what they did to him, just because I don't want to talk and be so down, because, you know, on a podcast, we like to be positive. But we wanted to talk about, you know, this injustice, because of the fact that it happened, and it happened to so many people during this time. In the early 20th century, those first 20 years from 1900 to 1920, there were literally like thousands of lynchings that happened. And a lot of them were successful men like Anthony Crawford, who, you know, they were just lynched because of jealousy. So, you know, they grabbed this body, they dragged them, they lynched them, they did, you know, awful things to the body. And by the time they lynched him, he was already dead. You know, it was just sad. And it was said that it was 200 white men that besieged the jail to grab him out of the jail. And like I said, it was just a horrible, horrible thing of what happened to this brother. And all because he was defending his own honor. Now, the aftermath of it, I advise you to look it up. Because like I said, you know, we don't want to get too down here on a podcast. But, you know, look up Anthony Crawford just to see the injustice that was done to him, you know, as far as this lynch mob. Like, I don't even want to talk about it. So it gets me sad to talk about it. So I know you listening, you don't want to hear about the gory details of what they did to this man. But the aftermath is that a full investigation was ordered. The South Carolina governor at the time was quick to denounce the murder. A full investigation was ordered by the sheriff and the state solicitor, which, you know, they were to hand down indictments of the mob participants. Many of the residents were held and questioned, but, you know, it became apparent that nobody in Abbeville was going to, you know, actually get into trouble for what happened. There wasn't going to be any, you know, justice that was done, you know, for this injustice that was done, rather, to Anthony Crawford. You know, none of the people were going to testify against any member of the mob. So it would have been impossible for them to select an impartial jury, you know, from the ranks of the city. And that became clear. You know, none of the people in the mob, none of them were held accountable for their actions. And they got away with murdering this man just because he called a white man a cheat. you know, it's just so sad about, you know, what happened. And what was even worse is what happened to the family. Because of the fact that he had so much land, you know, he had so much land that he had accumulated, you know, all the businessmen of the town saw this as an opportunity. You know, they saw this as an opportunity to basically take his land. And they threatened the family. They threatened his remaining family and, you know, told them to get out of town or else that they were going to kill them. The businessmen and some of the people in the mob, some of the fellow store owners and fellow farmers all got together and, you know, started to bully the family and terrorize the family so that they can leave and that they can take over their land. And that's basically what happened. The family was so afraid because they were the minority in the town. They were so afraid that they ended up leaving everything that he accumulated for their own safety. And it was sad because his family was educated. His wife, you know, Anthony Crawford was big on education. So his wife was educated. His children, they were all educated. And so they had to leave everything that that he accumulated so that they can get out of town, you know, to be safe. And even other black businesses, black owned businesses in Abbeville were affected as well because they saw Anthony Crawford's success as a threat. And so, you know, they looked at him and they decided to use this horror as a way to scare other black business owners. And they were actually votes. The members of the town of Abbeville, as well as, you know, including many members of the lynch mob, voted to expel the remainder of Crawford's family from South Carolina and to seize their property holdings. And they also voted to close down all the black-owned businesses in Abbeville. The businessmen, worrying about the economic effect of such a decision, they publicly opposed these decisions. But they, you know, secretly, you know, were benefiting from it because they were the ones who swooped in and took the land. They tried to pretend that they were friends to the Crawford family to get them to leave peacefully, but they are some of the people who came in and swooped in and took the Crawford's land. And it just, like I say, you know, for him to have amassed so much, and now the family has no ties to this land. As of now, the land is owned by a paper company. So there was a huge injustice that was done to not only him, but to his loved ones as well. You know, we talk about generational wealth all the time, and this family was cut out of that. You know, and there's, think about how many successful black men during this time, men and women, who lost, you know, their descendants lost out to generational wealth because of hatred and racism and jealousy. Because it was violently taken from them. These lynch mobs would form in literally minutes, and hundreds of angry people, angry white people would get together and violently take what, you know, black men and women sweated to accumulate. And they weren't able to pass this down to their children and continue generational wealth. It's a shame. One of the motivations that's said about Anthony Crawford's murder is that they wish to uphold the white status quo over the African Americans, especially a man like Anthony Crawford, who maintained a defiantly confident and aggressive posture in the presence of white, he was, you know, a successful person, so he didn't feel like he was inferior at all. He wasn't, and you know. These white people wanted to maintain that status quo, so they used, you know, him. That's why they were so violent with him, because they wanted to strike fear in the hearts of other business, you know, men and women of the town of Abbeville, South Carolina. Even now, when you go down to that town, you know, people down there don't, you know how they do when it comes to these horrors. They whitewash their history. They erase it a lot of times, where people don't even know that that happened. And the people who do know about it don't talk about it. It's this, shh, you know, this real hush-hush secret nobody wants to talk about. But in this documentary that I mentioned before, the woman in it, she works hard to, preserve his legacy and so that people know who Anthony Crawford was and what he accomplished. So I don't want to get too much more into it because I want to, you know, encourage everyone to watch it. It's not a long documentary, but it is something that's very important, you know, for our history to see just some of the things that we've gone through, you know, some of the things that we've gone through. And it talks a lot about it talks a lot about, you know, how a lot of these lynchings and even these towns, you know, successful black towns that were created, that were burned down, like Rosewood and like Tulsa, Oklahoma. The motivation was always jealousy because of black success, you know, and how part of generational wealth not being passed down was because of events like that throughout history. So please look up Anthony Crawford. There's plenty of places that goes into detail about what happened to him, what happened to his family. I just didn't want to get into too much detail just because it's so depressing. But, you know, his life and what happened to him, you know, him being an example of success can be an example for black Americans on how you can, you know, you talk about pulling yourself up by the bootstrap, and this man did, you know. Unfortunately, it was taken away from him. So I would advise you to please look more into information on Anthony Crawford and look for the documentary Crawford, The Town the South Forgot. As mentioned, you can find it on Quelle TV, which is the streaming service for black, you know, for the black African diaspora, where it's, the content is all African-inspired or black-inspired content. But I just want to leave you all with that, because when I was looking over the information on him to do the episode, it actually got me a little bit down because it was so saddening what happened to him and to the family. So I didn't want to get into too much detail and make you all sad, but in your own time, please look up Anthony Crawford and look up his life and what he went through and the injustice that happened to his family. And also look up the documentary Crawford, A Man the South Forgot. I will be playing some interviews. My next few episodes will be a couple of interviews that I did with the director and with the producer and editor of the film, a sister by the name of Tiffany Jackman, who was the producer and editor, and Carolyn DeVoe, who was a director. And it was good interviews with them, and we talk a little more about the documentary and just about the effects that it has, that what happened to Anthony Crawford had on the black community, especially in Abbeville. So I advise you all to look forward to those, because those will be coming out soon. Those will be my next couple of episodes. But definitely, when you get the opportunity, look up Anthony Crawford and, you know, what happened to him. And, you know, and just, like I said, it's a little sad, not a little sad, it's extremely sad what happened to him and his family, but it's just, you know, it's part of our history, unfortunately. That's a sad thing. So I just want to conclude this episode of Everyday Black History. I just wanted to kind of do this episode about Anthony Crawford as an introduction for the interviews that I did with the director and with the producer and editor, and just to kind of whet your appetite of what the documentary is and what we'll be talking about. But please look up Anthony Crawford. So that concludes this episode. And Anthony Crawford, we salute you. You know, rest in peace. As we say to all of our brothers and sisters who, from our culture, who experience such injustices. But we salute them, and we salute you, Anthony Crawford. So that concludes this episode of Everyday Black History. And we'll be coming at you soon, real soon, with more black history and with those interviews. So stay tuned for the next episode.